WTTS on demand.
Appreciate the opportunity. And maybe we could start, Dave, with a discussion of your latest project, Lucky Numbers.
That's right, yeah.
Features some duets and some interesting people. First of all, let me ask you this, Dave. Are you based out of Nashville now?
Well, it seems like that. I spend a lot of time there, but this album, I actually took my Nashville band all the way to the South Pacific in a sort of magical mystery tour, and we recorded the whole album on a boat sailing around the South Pacific. But it was the same Nashville band as my last two albums, and we were joined by Martina McBride on the boat, and basically we sailed in between the islands making crazy music.
So is that, I would imagine that had a very calming influence on the album, but the album does have a lot of energy, and I didn't even think Martina McBride, you know, that there wasn't like a huge country overtone there or anything like that. How did you come up with this concept to work with people like Martina and Karen Elson?
Well, Martina sang a duet on the first album I made in Nashville, and I always play with the same Nashville great players, and Karen Elson is a friend, and you know, when I finish writing the songs while I'm recording them, I just imagine whose voice would be the best to do a duet or to sing harmony or whatever, and it just happens like that. Alison Krauss was on the last album, and Diane Birch, a great girl who's on tour right now with her album. But, you know, I used to have about 9 songs that I'm singing myself with the band, and I used to have about 3 that are duets and feature different girls.
Yeah. You often, a lot of times you've had female duet partners. You do this, is it about the harmonies, or is it maybe to bring a female perspective to the songs?
Well, I always write the songs myself, but I actually, you know, after a while when you just have a bunch of guys together talking about cars, guitars, and girls, you sort of hanker after that female perspective, you know, so it's a mixture of loving the sound of the voices and having a woman to talk to, you know.
You recently, you know, were together with some of the guys, and I'm going to refer back to the project Super Heavy with Mick Jagger, Josh Stone, of course, not a guy, and others. That what was that experience like?
That's great, yeah. And I went on to make Josh's solo album after that. But making a Super Heavy album was very like we recorded in Nashville, which is we all in a circle and we all looking at each other and we're writing and playing live music. But in Super Heavy, obviously the live music had a blues influence and a Jamaican influence, and A.R. Rahman bringing an Indian influence, and just an amazing experiment which we still talk about. It's still one of my favorite albums, and it's probably the best album that fuses those different genres together that's ever been attempted, I think.
You are you're an artist, and you truly are an artist in many senses of the word. You also are a photographer, and you've recently put out the Dave Stewart songbook with some pictures and stories. Dave, I was wondering if you would do me the kindness of maybe taking an excerpt of one of the stories included in this songbook, because you really got into some neat stuff there. Is there a story that you can easily recall right now that you could share with us from the songbook?
Good. Well, yeah, the songbook that you're talking about is a big, thick hardback edition that has 21 songs, and each song has a 4 or 5 pages story, as well as the music and the photographs I took at the time. And everyone has a story behind them. A classic one is a song I wrote with Tom Petty, but originally was writing it for Stevie Nicks, called Levine, who I didn't know. They'd been living together. And, you know, they started arguing, and then Jimmy said, oh, let's get Tom Petty down here. And then he came down, and he wanted to record the song, but he didn't want it on Stevie's album, because he said that's what happened with Stop Dragging My Heart Around. And it all turned into this bizarre sort of fight over the song. And I ended up going to Tom Petty's garage with his band, and we cut the song there. You know, it was a lot more prolonged, and crazier things happened, but that was the gist of it.
Yeah, that's from in the story told in your songbook. And was that song, I mean, I just have to ask, was that about Stevie?
It was about, you know, the song isn't about Stevie herself, it's about the world that Stevie was in, living in, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm just going to assume, looking at some biographical, at your history, that you're one of these guys that actually can maintain that friendship after a relationship is over that most of us can't do.
Yeah, that's a complicated thing for most people. I can imagine as well. Well, I had to, didn't I? Because, you know, Annie Lennox and I lived together for about 5 years. We didn't write one song, and then we decided to live separately and form a duo. And then we wrote 125 songs about breaking up, I suppose. So that was my big, like, going to breaking up university, you know?
You know, since you went back there first, let me go back just a real quick second here, because I think the Eurythmics are so interesting. You know, it was something so different musically. A real easily acquired taste. Sounded like nothing else, and yet 30 years later, we're still playing the songs here on WTTS. How, you know, you're right off the disco era. I mean, disco is exploded and then comes crashing down, and here come the Eurythmics. I'm just kind of interested in the creative process in those very interesting songs. Dave, how did can you explain any of that to me?
Well, we had no money, and we went to a bank and we borrowed £4,800. We showed the bank manager all the equipment we wanted to buy, which was second hand, and we got an 8-track, and we recorded the Sweet Dreams album. And we really had to concentrate on, we only had 7 tracks, so you had to put everything into the bass line, or the whatever you were playing, it had to be memorable. And so the song Sweet Dreams, it's basically a hook from beginning to end, and the melody and everything, and that launched a whole avalanche of songs and albums. And, you know, I made 9 albums in 10 years in the 80s, and, you know, we really did work our butt off, played everywhere around the world all the time, constantly on tour, and made 9 albums. And if you look back at it, you know, the songs are very memorable, whether Here Comes the Rain Again, Would I Lie to You, Missionary Man, Sisters Are Doing It for Themselves, Sweet Dreams, Love Is a Stranger, Who's That Girl. We had hit after hit after hit. And I think a lot of it was because we weren't worrying about, oh my God, how are we going to follow that up? We were just in a big creative explosion, and it just kept pouring out.
Yeah, there sort of always seemed like there was some sort of, it wasn't blatant, but there was definitely, there seemed like there was a very sexual side to a lot of those songs.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we would sort of make films and vignettes and reenact all sorts of themes in our videos. A lot of people made videos that was more straightforward, like a band playing in a studio or a band in a set. Where ours would be little strange films. We had a lot of fun, actually. It was a lot more fun than a lot of the bands that we met on the road who were plowing through it. Because we were the two of us, and we could invent whatever we wanted. We didn't have a record company telling us what to do or anything, you know.
So you guys are a former couple, and I know you're in relationships on your own while you're performing together. Was that ever awkward?
Yes. you know, after a while, like anything, time heals it. So, you know, after a while, I was best friends with Annie's boyfriend. We played tennis all the time, and you know, Annie became best friends with my wife, who I'm now married to. And everything changes, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Some great insights. So, lucky numbers. You seem to have a preference for studio work. Are you going to be taking lucky numbers out on the road?
Yeah, I am, actually. I just played a series of gigs in Europe, and I'm launching an internet sort of web TV show, you know, like Daryl's House, but this one's a bit more sort of crazy. And that starts on November the 1st, and my first guests are Andy Garcia, I interview sort of actors, and then I have musicians play in jam sessions, a bit like Playboy After Dark. You know that? Remember that TV show?
Yes, I do.
And then I'm playing with my circus. I have a circus, like a rock and roll circus. I play starting at the El Rey Theater in Los Angeles on January the 30th. But I don't know if you've seen my video, which is a really crazy circus. Have you seen that?
I have not.
All right, it's back to one of those very over the top videos, you know, it looked like a massive film. And I have about 100 people in it, and you can see it actually if you go to Rolling Stone, just type Rolling Stone Dave Stewart Circus. So if you go to my website, davestewart.com.
Mm-hmm. Is that where we're going to find the new show?
The video, you'll find the video there. The new show is going to be on Bite Size Network, but you'll probably also find it on my website too.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be good. I can just tell. This is going to be good.
It's called The Ringmaster, the show, and all sorts of things, unexpected things happen.
Yeah. Guests? Are you going to have some guests?
I have guests. I have Andy Garcia, you know, the actor. He comes and he plays. He wrote this theme song, so he plays Cuban piano with Sheila E. on drums, and a band called Ozomatli backing. And then I have a girl called Judith Hill, who's a brilliant singer-songwriter. She's on tour right now, but she was the girl that did the duet with Michael Jackson, you know, the This Is It film.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I have two amazing sisters from Somalia who are only 18 years old, and they're introduced by Elijah Kelly, who is the son of Forest Whitaker and Oprah Winfrey in the movie that's out at the moment called The Butler. And and then I have crazy circus people and I have a martini, so
kind of, that's where the Playboy After Dark similarity kind of kicks in, I guess, huh? That's really cool. That sounds really interesting. And we'll look for that. And you say it starts November the 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave, this has been one of my favorite conversations that I've had with anyone, and I do appreciate your time. Love your work, and good luck to you.
All right. Thanks so much.